Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Now, you are going to have to learn how to fight. Now, that goes contrary to popular thought in Christian circles and TV preachers, but Christians have to fight. We're in a war. We're in a battle.
Yes, sir.
And the devil and spiritual wickedness in high places has slipped into the religious circles and the churches and the Christian organizations, and they've watered down till now. If you're a Bible fundamentalist, you just believe the fundamentals of the Bible, the simple seven little old things to be called a fundamentalist. If you believe those, by the way, you believe fundamental math, or you wouldn't be able to do math. You believe fundamental English, you wouldn't be able to do English. You believe fundamental driving, or you wouldn't be able to drive. And as a Christian, there's some fundamental things we have to believe to even be a Christian. But you say that now, and you're in for a battle. Because it's been so watered down, it's been so weakened. But I've got news for you. As a Christian, once you get born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you become a new creature in Christ, and you get a new heart, and a new mind, and a new spirit, and you'll get a new attitude, and you'll make enemies. And you're going to be attacked. I doubt if there's anybody in this room that's been saved very long that old Satan hadn't sent somebody to attack you already. We all are attacked. Now, I'm not talking about some spooky thing at night that bumps into your television or breaks it or something. I'm talking about people will attack you not even knowing they're inspired by demonic forces. And if you don't know what to do, you're going to be in a mess. Did I say that? You're going to be in a mess? Amen. Now, so tonight I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, how to fight back when the enemy attacks. How do you fight back and still be a good Christian? Now, I'm not talking about getting mad and breaking things and cussing people out and getting in a fist fight, but there are spiritual ways that you fight back when you are attacked. Now, because of lack of Bible knowledge and because of lack of Bible teaching, most Christians think that there's nothing you can do. But there are some things you can do. Now, it may be the opposite of what you think. It's going to be the opposite of what you think you ought to do. It will. But He wouldn't have given us armor if we wasn't going to be in a fight.
Amen.
This is not an allegory. It's true. It's the armor that He's given us. And so therefore, believe it or not, at some time all Christians are attacked, or these scriptures wouldn't even be in here. Everything ain't always rosy. Everything ain't always pink tea and lemonade. And then some old ignorant redneck preacher like me comes along and starts talking like this and screaming and hollering and spitting, and people get mad at him and say, he's some kind of bigot. He's some kind of fanatic or something. But if they knew what the Scripture said, they wouldn't feel that way, see? So what do you do, preacher? Somebody's attacked me because of my faith. They've attacked me. I've been wrongly accused. I've been lied on. I've been hurt. I've been turned against. I've maybe even physically assaulted or threatened. Amen. Yes. I mean, he's talking like when you have revival, the devil gets messed up and he gets mad, and then he wants to come. He won't show up himself, but he'll sure send some people to do it. And we have to be real careful. I thank God for my wife. She's more careful about a lot of things. I'm pretty ignorant. I'm naive. I am. I'm naive. I think everybody wants what I want. You ever feel that way? I just think, well, what I want is good, so everybody must want what I want. You ever felt that way? And then it shocks me when they don't. I mean, I wasn't talking about getting drunk. I'm talking about doing something good, you know, for the God or for the work of God or something. And you just assume everybody, but the old devil, he'll send them around and they'll lie on you. Boy, they lied on Paul. They lied on Peter. They lied on Jesus, the Son of God Himself. They attacked Him with lies. So what do you do, preacher, when the devil attacks, when spirits, strange spirits attack, when people attack you, when you know it's the devil in the circumstances that are messing with you? What do you do? All right, now, number one, you know what we're supposed to do? God's good all the time. Amen. In all things. He's in every bit of it. And if all things work together for our good and His glory, you know what we got to do? We got to praise God anyway. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Do you hear what she said about you? Well, hallelujah now. Did you hear what he said he was going to do to you? Well, glory to God anyhow. He can't do nothing but kill me. I'll be in heaven then. Hallelujah anyhow. Worst thing you do is kill me and then I get to go to heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. We'll start praising God. You know why? The devil hates it. If the Lord inhabits the praise of His people, and what that means is He comes when you start praising. If He inhabits the praise of His people, the devil does not want you to praise God because the Lord's going to show up. And he doesn't want Him to show up. Amen? That's why you got all these dead churches. If you said amen, the preacher would lose his place. Have to start all over in his sermon. Ain't nobody ever praised God there. They got scared the devil's going to do something. That fellow come to me after when we was in the old building. I preached about the devil. He come after me. Come to me after church. He said, "Preacher, you're in trouble now." I said, "What for?" He said, "You exposed the devil. You think he's going to leave you alone now?" I said, "No, I expect it. Hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Worst he can do is kill me and then I wake up in glory. Hallelujah anyhow." Now, he's attempting to discredit what God's already done in your life. See? He's attempting to get you not to say the things you just got through saying. See? And so, if it takes some little minion or some little hussy to come along to get you to shut up, that's what he's going to send. Amen? And by the way, Tom, he's seen millions of them just like you. You're not unique. I'm not unique. There's been millions just like us go through this earth and they're up in glory and he's seen how we act and he's seen how we react and he knows exactly what to do to get us to shut up. Praise him anyhow. You say, "Preacher, it hurts." I know it does. I've been hurt bad, but I just say hallelujah anyhow for what he has done for me already. And if he never blesses me again, he's already done more than I deserve. Amen. So when people attack and people say, "Well, you know what they said about you?" Said, "Don't care. Don't tell me." Hallelujah anyhow. Amen. By the way, don't listen to them. When somebody comes to you and say, "Did you hear what so-and-so said about you?" And say, "No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be upset. I'm not going to sit here and wallow in that misery with you. If you want to listen to that, you go and listen to it. I'm going the other way." Hallelujah now. Glory to God. He's been good to me. Amen. He nor his persons. Look. He is using to hate you. The only reason they're doing that is to get you to stop. Tony almost told a story the other night. Brother Bob Gray went to see Jack Hiles one time, my hero. And in 85 or something, some people told a bunch of lies on Brother Hiles. Now, he had the biggest Sunday school in the world. He had 30,000 in Sunday school. They ran 350 buses every week, picked up kids around Chicago. One of the greatest preachers you ever hear, the old-fashioned Texas preacher right outside Chicago in Hammond, Indiana. But anyway, he was attacked, and he was accused of adultery, and he was accused of all kinds of stuff. And Brother Gray went to see him because everybody thought this was the end of him. Because, you know, whether you're guilty or not, all it takes is an accusation. And so he went to see him. He said, "I was going to feel sorry for him, sit down and have a pity party with him." So I said, "Well, Dr. Howell, I heard about your trouble." He said, "Well, don't worry about it." He said, "Yeah." Yeah, I was just wondering what you're going to do now. He said, you didn't hear? He said, no. He said, I'm starting 30 more bus routes. He said, you what? He said, I'm starting 30 more bus routes. He said, what? Oh, you going through? He said, yeah. He said, that ain't all. I'm starting 30 more nursing home ministries. 30 more nursing. Of course, he had a college that had 5,000 students in it that he could put to work, you know. And he said, that ain't all. I'm starting more Sunday school classes. He said, I'm going to preach harder than I've ever preached. He said, what? He said, yeah. Yeah, the way to get the devil quit is just fight back. He said, don't give up, double up. He said, so when they attack, don't get bitter, get better. Do more, don't do less. Don't let them discourage you. Hey, don't even let them think they're discouraging you. Amen? So we'll praise God when they attack. Amen?
Yes, yes.
You ain't never been attacked. You just want to do this, you know. Look at them, hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to church more. I'm going to start going to Sunday school. That'd help a lot of this crowd around here. Come in weeping and whining about how hard they've had. Don't start the Sunday school. Show the devil what they really believe. Amen. Come on Sunday night. Amen. Show up for visitation Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see what the devil has to say then. Amen. And while those people's talking bad about you, the people that's listening to them saying, well, that's strange. I just saw him over yonder witnessing to somebody. Well, that's strange. I just saw over there at the grocery store leading a little old girl to the Lord over an aisle somewhere. Y'all still with me?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Don't hey, start praising God. Do more. Don't do less. Amen. And then do this when you're attacked. Worship God. Worship God. Get off by yourself and worship Him in the Spirit. Now, let me go ahead and tell you, church is not worshiping Him. We praise Him in church. We honor Him in church. We serve Him and others in church. But I've had very few personal worship with God in churches. Now, I know what you're saying. Corporate worship. The choir was wonderful. My spirit was raised. Yes, yes. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a one-on-one, God, you're good. God, I love you. God, touch me, all by yourself in the woods somewhere, crying out, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elisha? Where is the God of Enoch? God, I need you, Lord. And just lay there and feel His presence around you. James said, you draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to thee. You know, we're hindered a lot of times in church from really worshiping God. Yeah, we are. Worry about what people think. Worry about you doing it at the wrong moment. What was that old boy that used to be at Eastside Baptist Church? He drove the van. He slept in the choir every Sunday. He'd sleep. And he'd be sitting up there sound asleep. I don't remember what the pastor was preaching on, but boy, he said something like, they all want to go to hell. And he woke up and said, amen! Wrong place to say amen. Everybody just went, can't believe he said amen right there. But you get all by yourself. You don't have to worry about what everybody thinks. Just worship God. Some of the greatest experiences I've ever had was when I was by myself out in the woods or in a room. One day I was up in the upper bedroom painting that thing. And I was listening to a sermon on the grace of God, and God come down that room. I'm serious. I had to lay my roller down, and I had to get out on the floor, flat on my face, just like that. I was weeping and crying so hard, and the presence of God had come in that room so hard, and it was a time of trial and tribulation. It was not a good time, but I began to worship God. Let me tell you something. I come out of there the greatest painter you ever seen. You know what else you need to do? Hebrews 4:12. Turn to it. The Word of God's quick. That means it's alive. And it's powerful. That's God's sword you're yielding. The Word of God's quick and powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know what a two-edged sword is? It cuts going both ways. Now see, if you got a regular sword, you got to turn that thing every time you go to cut. But that two-edged sword, you can say, "Oh, devil, shoot, devil, shoot, shoot." And you can fight with a two-edged sword. Now you listen to me. When the devil attacks, you need to know some scripture. Memorize some scripture. Memorize. I mean, if it ain't nothing but Psalm 23, memorize some scripture that you can throw at the devil. You say, "Well, how do you know to do this? Is that not what Jesus did when he was attacked up there by the devil himself?" He says, "Shut up, devil. The scripture says, the scripture says, the scripture says, don't you know the scripture says?" And that's how we have to fight. We don't get in arguments with people over their opinion, our opinion. We quote scripture to them. People say, "What do you think about this? What do you think about that?" I give them scripture. If I don't have a scripture, I'll say, "Let me get you a scripture on that." Because, it doesn't say Ron's word's quick and powerful. It said God's word is quick. That word means alive. Most of y'all people, you bit down in the quick. That's an old English word. It means alive. You went from the dead stuff to the live stuff, and it hurt. And so the word of God is alive. Now, I'm not talking about it's a piece of paper and a book. I'm talking about that word. He said, my word will not return unto me void. And you put that word out and it'll work. Brother Billy, I remember the first time I preached at the chain gang. I ain't even chain gang no more. Now it's the detention center. The chain gang. No air conditioning. Push out windows. Metal roof. Cement block building. My pastor said, "This old boy preached at Chang ain't done quit on me. Would you go out there and preach?" I said, "I ain't ever been there." He told me how to get there. And I said, "What I do?" He said, "Just go preach." I said, "Well, who's going to help me? Ain't nobody going to help you. Who's going to play the piano, lead the singing? You are." I said, "I can't play the piano. I can't sing." And he said, "Well, just do the best you can. Go in there and preach. Just open the Bible and start reading and hollering. Just read and holler. Preach." Brother Fortson, I was scared to death. You talking about a 24, 25-year-old boy weighed 150 pounds? I went in there scared to death. By myself. But you know what I did? I preached. And every time I'd preach, those big old burly, ungodly, wicked men would just stand there and tremble and cry like little old babies. It wasn't me. It was the Word of God. They wasn't scared of me, Billy. No. They wasn't scared of me. It's the Word of God that cut them, not me. I'd go over there to that Army Reserve, those big old burly men been out drunk the night before. They was only there to get paid. They wasn't there because they were patriots. And they come in there ill. They didn't want to be in there, but they had a choice. Either come into the chapel or stay out there and do some kind of duty. And they had hangovers and didn't feel like working outside in the sun. So they'd come in there with a little preacher boy. And by the way, at first the Rochester sang for me. You remember that, Billy? They used to go with me to the Army Reserve once a month. They'd sing for me. That's when the kids were little. And they'd sing. It's really kind of strange because about everybody in there was black man. And they were singing bluegrass gospel. And those men loved it, man. They loved it. And I'd get up there and I'd read a scripture and holler and read a scripture and holler and read a scripture and holler. And some of them go to sleep on me. But after a few times, I got a little boldness, you know. I asked the Lord to give me boldness. And I'd be preaching. I'd say, "Wake that guy up back there. I'm trying to preach to him." They'd wake him up. And then I'd give the invitation and they'd weep and cry, and some of them get saved. They get saved. Go down there to the Chester County Jail. You know, didn't none of them boys want me in there. I never did go in there and say, hey, there's the preacher. Good to see you, preacher. Never, not one time. I'd walk in there, they had a little, you'd come in a little door and there's a cell block across here, and I was outside of it across the bars at the TV up there. Monday night football. I'd turn that thing off every time. Hey, we're watching that. I said, well, we're going to have church. You can't do that. I said, yeah, I can. I'm the preacher. We got rights. You ain't got no rights. You're in jail. They stand back there. They'd be 30 in a cell that's supposed to hold 12. And some of them would stand at the back and they'd mock me. And they'd jeer at me and make fun of me while I was preaching. I just preached right on. I remember one particular night, there was four of them standing back there, and they'd holler things out loud at me while I was preaching, making fun of me. I'm just a little old skinny thing. What could I do? You know, making fun of me. And I just kept on preaching. Finally, at the end, I gave the invitation. Guess who the first four was to get saved? Those four. The Word of God did that. I didn't do that. They were my enemies when I went in there. They loved me when I left. Amen. Now look, people attack you. You take the Word of God. Your words have no power. None. Now you might make somebody mad. That's about all the power you got. But look, when somebody attacks you, you need to praise God. You need to get off somewhere and worship God. And then you need to memorize some scripture. And next time they come around or next time somebody says something to you, hey, I don't care what the scripture is. Quote it to them. You know, when you first got saved, John 3:16. I memorized that scripture. I could have saved the whole world with that one scripture. Everywhere I went, I was quoting that scripture. And I learned a little bit more, I'd quote it. And learned a little bit more, I'd quote it. And then I had these jobs I'd have to go to, and people want to talk to me. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not very smart myself, but let me tell you what the Bible says. Amen. Give them the Word of God when they attack you. Amen? And they say, well, you ain't much of a Christian. Say, you know you're right because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, you're a hypocrite. You say, well, you know you're right because there's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Just throw the word at them. After a while, they'll shut up. Amen? And here's something I thought about. We had this meeting. And we called it I'm not ashamed. So I thought about this. I said, why don't we live out loud like the homosexual crowd says they do now? Why don't we live out loud? Why should we be quiet about what we believe? Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Old Job said, though he slay me, I'll still trust him. I'll trust him all the way to the grave. We ought to. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Why don't we live out loud like that? Why don't we say those things? Why don't, when we go places, why don't we look and act and behave and talk and walk like Christians? So people said, man, there's something different about that guy. Well, preacher, we got to be relevant. Relevant. Sin's never been relevant to sinlessness. Unholy's never been relevant to holy. Amen? Well, preacher, you'll run them off. Maybe some of them needs to be run off. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you unto myself. And look, we'll live out loud just like they live out loud. They carry their signs, they carry their flags, they fuss, they holler, they scream. They quote their favorite authors and their favorite leaders. Why don't we do the same thing? Amen. But for some reason, Christians have this idea we're supposed to. Just get up in a corner somewhere. You know, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church must be pretty powerful if it can storm the gates of hell. It didn't say the gates of hell would storm the church. The church would storm the gates of hell. And he says, snatching them out of the fire, having compassion on them. We'll live out loud. When you go to work tomorrow and your boss man said, you're doing a good job, say, amen, praise God. Yeah. It'll change where you work if you do. You go to school tomorrow and some of your friends say, well, you're kind of odd. Say, yeah, Jesus was too. Amen. Amen. We'll live out loud. Look, when people attack us, we'll not fall back. We'll go forward. Don't quit going to church. Go more. Don't quit inviting people to church. Invite more people to church. And just prove to everybody else that what that guy is saying is a lie anyway. You know, I've had people come tell me such and such and such and such. And I don't judge people by what you say. I do it by what they do. And I always tell them, I say, well, look, he's been good to me. He never hurt me or my family. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I think we'll go forward. We'll do more. You know, that's just the opposite of what the devil and your enemies expect, ain't it? See, they think if they wag that old tongue that you're going to get scared and you're going to back down. You're going to leave them alone. You're going to leave their friends alone. And you're going to just keep your mouth shut. You're going to keep your religion in the church building. You're not going to bring it to work. You're not going to bring it to school. And that's why they wag that tongue. And that's why they lie and do everything else to hurt you, is to shut you up. I told y'all that. Man, everywhere I've ever worked, I've tried to be a witness. I've tried to be a witness. And everywhere I've worked, I've been fussed at for being a witness. And then when they fussed at me, they said, you're going to have to quit this. And I always end up saying, I'm sorry, I can't. I was like this when you hired me. And I really feel bad that I don't say more than I do. Y'all still with me? You know what that'll do? That'll get people to leave you alone. I go in the break room, that breaks over for them. Amen. Go in there and sit down with your Bible one day while you're eating. It'll be like spraying bug spray. People get out of there. Start quoting scripture. Nobody wanted it to work with you. You start doing these things, I'll tell you what. When they do attack you, others will say, I don't see it. I don't see what you're saying about her. I don't see it, what you're saying. They'll say, they've been good to me. You're going to get attacked. Now, you can get mad and fight back carnally. Or you can do it spiritually, just like he says right here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and in high places. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore. Put on the armor and stand. Put on your gospel shoes and then stand. Don't you move. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Amen. Hey, we used to have Christians like that. Now everybody's scared of what somebody says about them. Well, you know what they said about me on Facebook? You know what I'm going to tell you about that? The people that read what they said about you on Facebook know them. And you ain't the first one they attacked. And they know you're not the first one. And they know you're not going to be the last one. And those same people, whenever you... And by the way, I don't read stuff like that. People say, did you read what it said about you? I said, no, I don't have to. I'm just going to keep posting what I do. If they don't like it, they don't have to read it because I'm not reading theirs. I know how to block. I know how to delete. I know how to unfollow. I know how to do all that stuff. Some of them's too dumb to know that. And they keep on looking at mine, don't know they can quit. Amen. Amen. If it makes you mad, don't look. Hey, but you know what? Everybody that reads that stuff about you and that somebody else said, that person that said it has probably said things about other people too. And those that's reading it said, look, they stay mad all the time. They'll get mad at drop a hat. They'll drop a hat to get mad if they have to. They just want to be mad. They're ill all the time. And the people that know you, they know better. They're not reading that. Matter of fact, they'll do just like I do. Unfollow, delete, block. They'll do the same thing. Because, see, they know you. So when you're attacked, don't get scared. Don't run away and worry about it. Everybody's so worried about it. People tell me, ain't you scared if you put that on there, you're going to make people mad? They can delete, unfollow, and block. I didn't put it on there for them. I put it on there for me. I said it because I wanted to. Amen. Amen. But they won't say it wouldn't be on there. So, here's the point. When you're attacked, praise God. Worship God in prayer. I mean, in the spirit. Prayer in the spirit. Not just now lay me down and sleep. Add the heart. Worship, pray to God. And then memorize some word. Next time the devil comes around, cut him with it. Cut him with it. And then you know what you need to do? Start living out loud and quit worrying about what people think about you. Quit worrying about, there's only one person you ought to care what they think about you, and that's Jesus Christ. No matter what the rest of them think. And by the way, when they're through criticizing you, they're going to go to somebody else. You need to quit worrying about that stuff. Live out loud for God. What that guy used to say? He said, you can talk about me all you please because I talk about you down on my knees. Pray for those who despitefully use you and go on. Let it go. Let it go. Now this week, they're going to jump on you. Jeffrey, if you wasn't such a big man, you'd know what I was talking about. They're scared of you. They say it, but they don't want you to know they said it. We're a little old skinny thing like me, you know, they say, oh, that man. A fella walked up to me at work one day in a short sleeve shirt and he started jerking on my arm. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought that was a loose string on your sleeve. Shut up. But I don't care how big or how little you are, the old devil hates you guts. And he'll find somebody that will attack you. Be ready. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. Don't you back up. Don't back. If you're right, don't back down. If you're wrong, confess it. Say, yeah, you're right. Forgive me. Pray for me. Whatever. But you don't have to back up. Go forward. You wouldn't believe how many people I talk to. I say, do you go to church? You used to. Why don't you go? They hurt my feelings. They hurt my feelings too every week. Somebody hurts my feelings. They hurt Jesus' feelings so bad they nailed him to a cross. You just don't want to go. Well, I got hurt. You got hurt down there at Walmart, you go back. Amen. Let's stand. Live it out loud. Come on. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us not to back up or give in or compromise or try to be relevant. Help us just to stand for you. Put on the whole armor of God. Use the word of God in prayer. And Lord, help us every once in a while get off and worship you. That'll strengthen us more than all the meetings in the world. Just get off by ourselves, one-on-one, and have fellowship with God. And Holy Spirit, fill us with your power and your presence. Make us warriors, God. He's talking about a warrior here. He's not talking about some little sissy thing here. He's talking about a warrior, a soldier of the cross. We live in a dark day, and many are sitting down. and many are shutting up, and many are backing up. And Lord, I don't know if they're saved or not, but I don't want to back up, and I don't want to give up, and I don't want to give in. I have had too good a time at this, and I don't want to quit now. So help us, Lord. Help our church to live it out loud, preach it, to sing it, to teach it, to witness it, to be examples. And then whatever is done, you know we'll give you the glory. And it'll shut the mouth of those people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Number 219. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Old David was leaving town. His son was running him out of town, taking his throne. And as he was running out of town and his men was following, there was a man up on the hill throwing rocks at him and cussing him and calling him a hypocrite and everything else. And one of the soldiers said, let me go up there and kill that guy. He said, no, God put him there. Sometimes God puts them there to see what you're really made out of. Later on, he got the victory. He came back into town. Guess who the first man was to meet him? The rock thrower. Let them throw the rocks. One day they're going to need you. And listen, they'll forget everything they ever said about you when they need you. They'll be back. They won't be throwing rocks next time. He bowed at his feet. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I can preach that all night. Brother Mike, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for a shepherd who keeps us on the straight and narrow, dear Lord. Dear Lord, help each one of us to go out into the world and be a blessing to others, not become part of the world and be separated.
That's right.
And show others the life that's inside of us. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.